أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Amma ba'd, my dear brothers and sisters, we are still talking about the rights of our spouses, and we have spoken about their monetary rights, which is comprised in the dowry, and then in the food and clothing and shelter. These are the main monetary rights for our spouses. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about the non-monetary rights, the rights of our spouses upon us, which is not money-wise. First of all, we know that, or we have established the fact that anytime there is a responsibility, there is a question. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤولٌ عن رعيته. Any time that you are in charge of something, it is not just a prestige, or it is rather not a prestige, it is a responsibility. That means you are going to be questioned about that responsibility in the day of judgment. So we have rights. We have husbands' rights toward their spouses, and we have rights for the spouses toward their husbands. The first right for our spouses, which is in the non-monetary rights, is to treat the spouses with justice. We know that in Islam it is permitted to, or it is allowed to marry more than one. So if you happen to have more than one, there has to be justice in between them, in dealing with them and in treating them. And this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsan." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be just and to be muhsinin, which is not only good to ourselves, but to extend our goods to others also. Any person who tends to treat one different than the other, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a great warning. He said, anyone who has two spouses and he leaned toward one in treatment more than the other, which means he was unjust, he will come the day of judgment with his side leaning, which is not, his shoulders are not balanced. One is lower than the other. A humiliating sign for the person, which means he was unjust. The person will come in that position or in that look. Similar to the person who is dealing with riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there will be resurrected in the day of judgment like the person who's been touched with the devil or possessed with the devil. He would be stumbling and walking and behaving like he is possessed, as a sign of humiliation and disgrace for that person that he has been dealing with riba. So this is a warning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the person who is unjust. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he even used to, before he travels, he used to toss like a coin or just make a draw or something between them to see which one who will travel with them. Because he wants to be just, and it's not like he take one of his wives and travel with her. He used to draw between them to make sure that he is dealing with them in a just and pleasing way for all of them. Even in the time of his death, as we all know, that he wanted to be with Aisha, and it wasn't her night, and he was not going to spend thy night with her without the permission of their wives, and they finally allowed him to be treated in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anha, he used to have two wives. When it used to be the day for one of his spouses, he was so just to the point that he would not drink a drink of water from the other house when it's not that day he is spending that day there. Now this is not the justice that we are looking for, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for the main thing. Yani, if you have two and you end up drinking from the other house, you're not sinning. But Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he just want to be absolutely just. But there is a minimum. You have to, for instance, provide shelter for them equally. You have to provide food for them, and you have to provide shelter, food, and clothing and such equally. But it is not required emotionally to be exactly the same, because you have no control over that. You cannot love this one exactly the way you love the other one, because this is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you would not let that show. You would not let that show to the point that you tend to go on one side and leave the other one as if she is hanging and left alone, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls in the Quran. Second one, second right, husbun ishra, to treat your spouse with kindness, to treat her with kindness, which means you have to better your manners, you have to have a good character with your wife, you have to be kind with her, you have to deal with her in an honorable way, emotionally, physically, in every way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَعَشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, live with them in what is good and what is known to be good in the place where you are living, dealing with them in ways that it is understood that this is good treatment for the spouse, because every place you go is different than the other. Which means here, husn al-ishra, as some of the scholars said, to give her her dowry complete. You know that if you advance part and you defer part, the deferred part is like a loan, or it's a debt rather, a debt that you have to pay. It is better for you to pay it now than when you die, because you don't know who's going to be there and what kind of inheritance there, and your wife might not get it. So it is always good to take care of it while you're still alive. You should not frown in the face of your wife without a reason. And you should be talking with her in a respectful way, not in a rude way, not in a rough way, and not to show that you are leaning toward someone else different than her. And you should provide for her the things that will satisfy her, the things that will make her heart content. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Istawsu bin nisa," take care of women, referring to our spouses. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoined upon us to take care of our spouses so much to the point Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he titled three chapters in his book, Sahih al-Bukhari, one of them that says, the chapter of taking care of women, the chapter of dealing or going along with women, meaning that your wife might want to do something and you really don't want to do it, you just go along with her to please her, as long as this is not haram. And there's another chapter that is called Husn al-Mu'ashara ma'al ahl, the kind treatment with your spouse. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to this hadith carefully, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يؤذي جاره. Anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment, he should not cause any harm to his neighbor. was also necessary hire and take care of women, deal with them in a good way, because they are weak and they are created from a curved rib, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with it, which means they are more emotional, which is needed for raising the children, as we have talked about that before, than logical. And they will never be like you. So if you were to perfect them to be like you, then you end up breaking them, which means you end up with divorce. So accept them the way they are and live with them the way they are, because this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Ibn Hazar rahimahullah, he said, dealing with women is to be kind with them, to be patient with them, and if you were to try to perfect them, then you will not enjoy living with them, and you know that you have no way of living or being able to live without them. So if you want to live with them and you want to enjoy life with them, you need to take them and accept them the way they are and be patient with them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni uharriju alaykum haqq al-da'ifayn al-yateem wal-mar'a." I enjoin upon you, and I continue to stress that upon you, the right of the two weak people, your wife and the orphan. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Akmalul mu'minina imanan." أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لأهلكم لنسائكم. The best of us in character, or the best of the believers in faith, are the best in character. And the best of us are those who are the best to their wives or to their spouses. This is to show us that we know that we have to reach our kinship. We know that we have to have relations with them. And who is closer to us than our spouses? So we have to deal with them with kindness and to protect them and to be patient from them. Another right that they have, أَلَّا يُفْشِي أَسْرَارَهَا وَأَلَّا يَذْكُرْ عُيُوبَهَا. You should not spread any of your intimate relationship with your spouse, regardless of what conditions your marriage is going to be, like you're angry or you're going to get divorced, or even you got divorced, and not to mention her shortcomings. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam greatly warned us about that. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna min sharri an-nas 'inda Allahi manzilatan yawm al-qiyamah ar-rajul yufti ila imra'atihi wa tufti ilayhi thumma yanshuru sirra." The worst kind of people, the day of judgment, will be those people, the husband sleeping with his wife, and the wife sleeping with her husband, and then he goes out and talks about it to other people. The worst kind of people. In different narration, it would be like a shaitan sleeping with a shaitana in the open, while everybody is watching it. This is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared. In order for us to know how to be kind and to deal with our spouses, naturally, it always helps if we have some precedence. Let us see how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with his wives, or how the companions dealt. Zainab bint Abi Salama radiallahu anha haddathat anna Salama qalat. Salama, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, حلت وأنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الخميلة فانسللت. She was with Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم under a cover or under a tent, sort of like. And she had the period while she was with him. So she kind of snuck out and left. And this is her best judgment, because when the woman is on the period, she cannot pray, so she figured that she might be impure, and she wanted to be close to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we know, before Islam, in the Judaism, when the woman menstruates, she cannot sleep with her husband, I mean on the same bed. She cannot eat with her husband, she cannot drink with her husband, completely secluded. Of course, this is not the case in Islam. So this is what she did. She said, I gathered my clothes and I left. And I put the necessary clothes for the protection. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, are you menstruating? She said, yes. So he called her and he grabbed her and he put her back next to him in the same place where she was. And it was, she said also one time, that he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to kiss her when he was fasting. And Aisha radiallahu anha and her used to say that she used to shower with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the she said, like Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to shower with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the same water, and they used to do that from the janaba. He used to also kiss her during the month of Ramadan, because all of those things are dealing and treating with your spouse with kindness, because many people think that you are fasting now, so emotions have to be set aside. You have no dealing with your wife. You cannot touch her. You cannot do anything. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing all of those to show us that it is okay to do that. Some people, they tend to separate themselves and not to shower with their spouses, and they may think that it is not decent, or you cannot look at one another, all of that. Naturally, our best example is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to do that. Urwa ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu qalat Aisha. Aisha told Urwa radiallahu anhu, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُومُ عَلَى بَابِ حُجْرَةِ وَالْحَبَشَ يَلْعَبُونَ بِحِرَابِهِمْ فِي مَسْجِدِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. She said, I have seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing at the door of my room, and the people of the Habasha or Ethiopia, they used to play in the masjid, yani play with those things that they used to fight with, practicing and such. And he used to stand there at the door while she was looking from over his shoulder, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yasturni minidah. He's covering her with his garment and she was looking. And he continued to stand there until she told him enough. He dealt with her in such kindness. He continued to stand there until she had enough of the watching and left her. Also, Aisha radiallahu anha said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray while he was sitting. He recites when he is sitting. Then when there is some like sort of 30 or 40 verses left, he used to stand up and used to recite them. Then he makes ruku in sujood. Then he does the same thing in the second rak'ah. Yeah, he was doing that because his late time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was becoming old and was becoming tired. So he used to pray. When he entered the prayer, he stands, then he sits, he recites. When he's about to make rukuh, he stands up, continues reciting, then he makes the rukuh and the sujood. This is the best way. If you are tired, you cannot stand, hold the recitation, you do that. So he used to do that. When he is finished with his second rak'ah, he used to look at Aisha. If she is awake, then he will start talking to her and sit with her. If she is asleep, he will lean on his side and take a nap before fajr. So this is another way of dealing with his wife after his prayer. Another right for our spouse is عدم الإضرار بالزوجة, not to harm your wife, not to harm your spouse in any way. And this is a principle in Islam, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You cannot inflict harm and you cannot reciprocate harm with harm and harming yourself or harming others. And this is also something that is known in our Sharia. So إِذَا كَانَ إِلْقَاءَ الْبَرَ مُحَرَّمًا. When you deal with your spouse and you honor it is haram, then definitely harming other people is haram. So harming your spouse definitely has to be more haram. Ubay ibn Salamah رضي الله عنه, one of the companions, said, as Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضَرَرَ. One of the most important things that we need to attract attention to is hitting your spouse. This is definitely inflicting harm on your spouse, and many people misunderstand the ayat in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in case of a problem, wife is raised in a way, and that is yani evident, and that is also existing. That some people raise their children in a way that they beat them up all the time, to the point that children are so used to it, they will not follow the orders unless they are hit. And that is what the ulama pointed out. So you might be married to a woman who is like that. Now you have many parents who do that. Men are dealing with their children, boys and girls. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَعِبُهُنْ, first thing, first path to follow is to admonish them. And admonishing them takes time. If that fails, then أَجْرُهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. Then sleep with them in the same bed, but turn your back to your spouse. This is insulting and humiliating for your spouse. Usually, yani, women are a lot more sensitive to issues like that more than men. Ignoring your wife, or ignoring her beauty, or disregarding her when she wants you and such like that, this is too much for her. And in worst cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَضْرِبُهُنْ. If you were to translate that, it is hit them. But how do you understand what is hitting? We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to explain the Quran to us, and he was the example for us. He was Quran walking in the street, basically. He is fulfilling everything. We take that ayah in light of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with his spouses? Naturally, he had arguments with them, he had fights with them. One time it lasted a month. So this happened with him. How did he deal with them? Did he ever hit any of them? Well, listen to Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ضَرَبَ امْرَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا قَطْ. I've never seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit a woman or even a servant that you own. It's like a piece of your luggage. You deal with him, anything that you want. Never. She is saying that it's one of his wives. It's a testimony of those people who lived with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never done it, he even told us. He said, let not any of you hit his wife like a slave, then end up sleeping with her at night. And how could you do that? How could you deal with her, insult her this way, and then you end up uniting with her in a way that shows love and affection and combined as if you are one person. You've just been dealing with her this way, and all of a sudden you're dealing the other way. It doesn't match for a sound and upright person, an upright Muslim. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said when it comes to hitting, he said you hit her with something like Oud al-Araq, the stick of the Araq that we use to brush our teeth with. So what kind of harm does this inflict on the woman? Nothing. But it hurts the feelings. This is what we're looking for. We're not looking for physical injury. We're looking for hurting the feeling, to let her know that you are upset of the thing that she is doing And usually a righteous woman, understanding woman, gets the message and changes. So this is something to clear that way. People want to misunderstand that and they take advantage of that ayah. Some of them, they even jump. They don't deal with admonishing. They don't deal with separating themselves in bed. They just go straight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hit. And this is sad, because if you see that in the translation of the Quran, it is translated in this way, because the Arabic language and the English language is very hard to get it exactly the same. Hit in Arabic, it can be a deadly hit, and it can be a very light hit. Both of them are hit, but it is not so with other languages. Another right for our spouse, and yet the lab is ziyarat ahliya wa qaribi, to allow your wife, to allow your spouse to visit with her parents, to visit with her relatives, with her neighbors, and to go to the masjid, to listen to lectures, and to attend the Jum'ah khutbah if she likes, as long as she is conforming to the Islamic etiquettes. No perfume, proper hijab, and those things. The most important one is no perfume and proper hijab, and the clothes that she is wearing is not attracted by themselves, and the way she walks and such. If she is taking care of that, then you should not prohibit her from doing that. Especially here, we have many people who are married to American women, or non-American, Christian basically, Christian or Jewish, where the family are still not Muslim. And some of the brothers, they tend to separate themselves or cut the relationship with them. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say good things to people, Muslims and non-Muslims. And we know our main existence here on this earth is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are here to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we are da'iyah. We are people who are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any relationship we have, we should base it on inviting people to Islam. And who is better to invite than the family of our spouse? Definitely, you want to show them what Islam is. Many people, when they become adherent to Islam, whether they are Muslim or new Muslim, they become so abusive and so negative with their family, especially with their spouse, to the point that they cannot stand them anymore. She doesn't pray, she does this, she listens to that, she opens the TV, she listens to music, she talks to people I don't like, she has bad friends, and they will be just so bad, and they want the person to completely change in one day. Now I say, why don't you show them that the thing that you have changed to is good? I mean, you were a certain way with them, and they were happy with you. Now you have entered something that should make you much better than what you are before. And you should reflect that to them so they can see, wallahi, whatever he's doing is something good. His manners are much better. The way he addresses, has patience, has respect. The way he calls me to Allah, Allah shows concern. He really cares. He feels sad for me. It shows on his face. It shows the way he behaves. When he calls me with kindness and all that. Then you see people coming and you see people confirming. One brother told me that. I told him this. Wallahi, he said, his wife is completely changed. Because he was so angry. To the point he wants to divorce. Why? Because he's angry at his wife. Don't expect that when you are in love with something, that your spouse is in love with the same thing at the same time. Don't expect because you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open your heart to the religion that your wife is the same like you. One brother invited his mother-in-law overseas, and he was like saying that The Quran is playing everywhere in Saudi Arabia at this time of Ramadan. Even the devils would enjoy it. Now this is, he talks about himself now. He said like she was joking there. She couldn't stand it. He couldn't believe why she was not having a good time. And she wanted to leave. I told him, brother, you're talking, listening to Quran. You speak Arabic. You lived in an Arabic country. You love Ramadan. You love your religion. Yes, you're enjoying that. You expect her to come and to love the Quran and to love the masajid and to love all of those, and she is not a Muslim, she's never been there, and she has to dress up, and she cannot drive a car, she cannot... And yeah, she has to feel that she is in jail. Even Muslim women feel that way sometimes when they go there. So she's not used to that, but he wants her to have the same feeling like him, and that is not going to happen. This is a problem that we deal with that. So take it easy. Let your wife visit with her family. Let them come and visit with you and make it a relationship based on dawah. Yes, you have the control to make sure that they don't drink alcohol, they don't do certain things in your house. It is your right and I should respect it. But make it a dawah and don't cut the relationship with them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not disallow the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to our spouses, to go to the masajid and make sure that they are dressed properly and not wearing perfume, He said that even though he said to pray at home is better for her than going to the masjid. Because the woman may feel like going there. There are so many things that are better than the things that we do, and we still do the least. And sometimes a person may have two choices to do. One of them is more rewarding, and the other one is not, and he will do the less rewarding. Well, women sometimes like to come to the masjid. Even though praying at home is more rewarding, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to let them and not prohibit them from doing that as long as they are following the teachings of Islam. Number six, ta'limuha al-ilm al-shar'i. One of the rights of your spouse upon you is to teach her her deen. You come to the masjid. You listen to a lecture. You listen to a hadith. She doesn't come to the masjid all the time. So who's going to teach her? It's you. You're supposed to take what you take from here and go home and pass it to her. You don't have to grab her every time and make her sit. I gotta tell you everything and go for half an hour and pass everything. No. Take a little from what you have learned here that you enjoy and you know your spouse will enjoy and pass it to her. You know what I've learned today? I have learned that the ayah hitting is like this and this and this. We used to think like, or people used to, you pass that to her. Let her know, so in case she runs into that, she goes, oh, men are beaters, or women abusers. And this is how many of the people take advantage of that against Islam. So teach her, and make sure that she is educated when it comes to her religion, because it is your responsibility. You love her. You don't want her to go to hellfire. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum, protect yourself and your family from the hellfire. Look what Aisha radiallahu anha said. نِعْمَ النِّسَاءُ نِسَاءُ الْأَنصَارِ لَمْ يَمْنَحُنَّ الْحَيَاءَ أَنْ يَتَفَقَّهْنَ فِي الدِّينِ. The best women are the women of the Ansar, the women of the Medina, the protectors of the immigrants who migrated from Mecca to Medina. What do those women used to do? He says, she said, Aisha radiallahu anha, shyness did not stop them from learning their religion. See, there are some questions you are too shy to ask. So this shyness did not make them just let it go and do it anyway and do the act improperly because they were shy to ask. No, they controlled themselves and they asked the questions that is usually embarrassing, but it is very vital and important to know it because it's part of the religion. We know that haya or shyness is good, but not in seeking knowledge. When it comes to seeking knowledge, you need to ask whether it's embarrassing or not. Your religion that depends on that, and that's one way to learn. Another right that we need to keep for our spouses, المحافظة على الشعور. وإكرام. We always want to deal with them with respect and make sure not to hurt their feelings. Look what Imam Ahmed said. Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he said, 19 حسن الخلق في التغاضي. 9/10 of good manners are in pretending to be not seeing anything. Like your wife does something wrong, you act like you didn't see it. You saw it. And she probably knows that you saw it, but you act it's not there. He said 9/10 of good manners with your spouse isn't that, pretending that you haven't seen your spouse. Because you want to assume that you did not see it, even though you have knowledge of it. And this is all to show your wife the respect and to become better from dealing or becoming a person with bad temper or bad manners, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the best of the believers are the best of good manners. Protect your wife, another right, protecting your wife from being bad or from mischief spreading to her or become far away from Islam. And you need to show that you are jealous for her. You care for her. You cannot stand her going without hijab. You care for her when someone says anything negative about her. You protect her in every aspect and you make sure that she is not to be involved in anything where some people may, or she might, yani, put herself in a position where people might say something negative about her. Because if they insult your wife, they insult you. If you insult your wife, you insult yourself. She is a part of you. So you want to protect her in every way, and you want to see her that I cannot see you dressed like that, because other men would look at you, I love you so much, and I care for you so much, than to stand or to be able to stand someone else enjoying looking at you. Not only this is haram, but you are mine and I am yours. And this is the way I want to keep it. Your beauty is for me. It is not for the street or for anyone else. She has to know that you are jealous and you do care for her, but you don't want to exaggerate the jealousy to the point that you choke her to death, like some people do, to the point that she cannot even answer the phone. You know, you find some people, they let their wife not answer the phone, not talk, even the point when somebody breaks the door and hello, hello, she will not even speak up, because they think that the voice is Arba. And this is the exaggeration, it is not part of our religion. And one before last, إعفافها وتلبيت حاجاتها. Make sure you fulfill her need emotionally and sexually, because this will protect her and this will suffice her from looking anywhere else. And this is will make her live in ease and to be content in her life with you, just like you have needs and desires, she also had needs and desires. To make sure to pass always good word for her, kind words, to commend her, to thank her, to give her a portion of your smile, a portion of your happiness, and to do all of the things that pleases her and make her feel that she is a woman and she is living with a decent, just, loving, caring husband. Look what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to pray to fast the day and pray the night. And one person had a complaint to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he does that. And naturally, if you fast the day and you pray the night, then you're not giving any time for your spouse. You're not giving any time for your wife to be with her or to satisfy or to fulfill her needs. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, do you do that? Yeah, I heard that you're doing, you're fasting, and you're staying at night. He said, yes. He said, Dada, I so often do not do that. Fast and break your fast. Pray at night and fall asleep. And fall asleep because your body has light upon you and your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has right upon you and your wife has right upon you. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَبِبُطْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً, even with the intention of fulfilling the need and the desire of your spouse, when you sleep with her, this is a rewarding act in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you do it with haram, you get sins. So if you do it in halal, it makes sense to get hasanat for it. At-ta'assi bi-khayri al-azwaj fi mu'anasat al-zawja. To let Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be your example in how to treat your wife. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَلْهُ بِهَا الرَّجُلْ فَهُوَ بَاطِلْ, except anything that you have fun with or you play with, it is falsehood, except تَأْدِيبِهِ فَرَسَةً, to break your horse or to train your horse, وَرَبِّهِ بِقَوْسِهِ, to do archery and such, وَمُلَاعَبَتِهِ أَهْ, and to play with your wife. This is not falsehood. This is not something considered in vain. It is rewarding. And who is better than your wife to do that to her, the one who cooks for you, the one who takes care of you, takes care of your children? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to race with Aisha and used to make sure that she is happy. He used to call her Ya'ash. You know, this is like a cute name for her. To call your wife, to find a good name for your wife that she likes, and to start calling her with that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call Aisha Ya'ash. This is like an ism, should we say more, tadfir or ism dalal. And for your spoiled little child, you know, you give him a nickname that is cute. Like this is here, Mike, you call him Michael or something like that. But if you have some good name you pick for your wife, you call her with that between you and her, this would be something very pleasing to your wife. Ask her opinion when you do things that also pleases her. Tell her some stories in your life that may be humorous or maybe something that pleases her. All of those things, do them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umm Salama in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. He asked her opinion. He told her the companions are not about to take their ihram clothes, and that is punishable because this is rejecting the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very angry. Umm Salama told them, O Prophet of Allah, you know they will do that. Why don't you go in front of them, take your clothes, and I'm sure they will follow. So he did. And sure enough, they did. It was her great opinion, or great suggestion, when he consulted with her and asked her, she helped him, so you can do the same with your wife. Finally, تحمل أذاها واصبر عليها. Be patient with your wife, and be patient even if she harms you. There are times that a woman, physically, emotionally, and psychologically, not stable. You have to understand that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wives, they used to answer him sometimes, and sometimes they used to raise their voice on him. And we know that as we mentioned before, he used to have certain things like that with them. He always showed restraint, and he was patient with them. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our best example when we deal with that. But make sure when you talk about commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you be strong with that, with your command, but at the same time lenient. Yani sometimes you go strong, and when you see that being too strong is too much, then you let go a little. Then you go back. This is how you deal with children. too in the same way, because you want them to change. Keep that in your mind. Anytime you call someone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not how strong you are, it is how much you desire for them to change. Based on that, you gotta deal in a way that make them change. Why are you advising me? Why do you come and tell me about my mistakes? Is it because you want to humiliate me, or because you want me to become a good Muslim? Well, if you want me to become a good Muslim, then you better do it in a nice way, so I can change. And this is how we need to always deal with one another. So, I'll conclude, and I will just recap quickly, the non-monetary rights of our spouses upon us to treat them with justice, to treat them with kindness, and to keep her intimate secrets, and to not mention her shortcomings, and also to deal with them in a way that pleases Allah and His Messenger, where you permit them to visit their family and their friends, and to go to the masjid, to also teach them their deen, because this is the most important thing that we are looking for, to not cuss them or curse them or curse their parents, because this is not a quality of the believers, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to honor her and to not hurt her feeling, and to call her with the best names that she likes, and to make sure that you safeguard her from corruption, and to show little jealousy for her because you love her, and make sure you fulfill her needs emotionally and sexually, and to always let Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be your example in how to treat your wife, and finally to be patient with her. This is what we have as far as the rights of the spouses upon their husbands. Next time, inshallah, we'll talk about the rights of the husbands upon their spouses. If you want to see more of these lectures, or to see this lecture also, you can go to www.imamhasanfadil.wordpress.com, or you can go to sunnahfollowers.net. Inshallah, everything will be there. I got a question here. It says, so the beating of a woman is not physical, but more of hurting the woman's feelings to her. Know that the husband is not happy with her. Is this a question or a comment? Yeah, this is what is intended with that, because you're not there to break a bone or cut the flesh or do any of that, because you're not there to harm, you're there to bring her to become good. And harming someone is not the way to correct that person and bring him down. When you harm someone, it's a sign that you don't like that person, so you don't want to deal that way. And just like I said, look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if this were to be meant to be hit lightly, let's say a slap on the shoulder and such, did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do that? Well, no, he didn't do that. So what should I do? I wanted to be the best kind of Muslim, follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if I was driven to do that, I will not do that. I will not put myself in that situation to do it, even if I am permitted to do it. Assuming that you can do that, I will not do that, because this, if you get to that level, then definitely staying together is almost out of the question. If a man fails to fulfill the fairness between wives and ignores the word, what advice you can give this Muslim man? Well, we need to understand that when it comes to marrying more than one, it is not just something that she just wants to live and enjoy. There is a responsibility with it. She is another human being, and you are dealing with two human beings. You're dealing, assuming that you are with one, whatever you do to that one, you need to do to the other one. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the warning. The best thing to advise that person is to tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger than me and bigger than you. He made oppression haram on himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he made it haram among us. The worst kind of oppression that you can have is not, even oppression is haram on the strangers. Even oppression is haram on disbelievers. What about those immediate, close relatives of yours, like your wives? If you are not willing to be just, then prepare yourself for darkness, the day of judgment, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Qulum Zulumat Yawm al-Qiyam." Zulumat. This is not a joke. This is a serious thing. So if that person knows and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is a true believer, he should take heed from that and refrain from doing and being unjust. Any questions, brothers? طيب جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك